You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to a Warriors All 82 Memphis Edition Game 1. Tim Kawakami is with me. Marcus Thompson may join, although, you know, he's probably writing the story of the night, whatever that is.
He's throwing it all down. We're just setting it up for him, but all good. We'll do this preliminary stuff, and the real stuff will come when Marcus finishes up and comes over here.
Marcus Thompson, maybe we just eject Marcus Thompson. It's not
allowed. Flagrantly late.
So, just a massive Warriors win in Memphis. You know, the type of win that it is game one, but changes a series. You felt it in that second half when the Warriors come out post Draymond ejection, which we can get to, and they're down 7. Because you didn't just have the Draymond ejection, but you had right after that Ja Morant alley-oop, which we know what that does to this Memphis crowd, and then Ja Morant taking Kuminga one-on-one to, you know, floater right at the buzzer to go up 7. He tells Kuminga right to his face, he can't guard me, which fired Steph up, which leads to a moment later that I wrote about. But generally at that point, you're thinking, you know, the Warriors might be about to get run out of the building in game one without Draymond in the second half. And then they come out and they win the game, and to me, that changes the series.
The third quarter was so big right at the time. I was thinking at the time, even if they lost the game in the fourth quarter, just that third quarter, just that comeback, they're not giving in. They're not just saying that, oh, poor us, Draymond's out, everything's going against us. And I hate to play that card. I never criticize officials in big moments. The officials were bad. It was a total homer officiating, I thought. I would say that if it was working the other way for the Warriors side, and for the Warriors to say, you know what, we're still going to do this, we're still going to win this without Draymond. I think I've said this, he's their most important player other than Curry, and to do it with, you know, Kevon Looney in there and Jordan Poole just going off and all Gary Payton the second, I felt like two wins. You outlasted the officials, and then you outlasted the Grizzlies. And the Warriors are saying it's one game, only one game. This felt like two games or more to me. This feels like they have a giant lead in the series emotionally, because if they can beat the Grizzlies after losing Draymond Green in the second quarter, well, I mean, what's the Grizzlies thinking here? Like, when's any league going to be safe? What are they going to be like at Chase Center when it's not here? This felt like the Warriors are up 2-0. Might even feel like they're up 2.5-0.
Oof. Marcus Thompson is now with us. You know, on the officiating, like, that was, I mean, especially sitting down there, like, that was a really tough game to officiate. It was really physical. I didn't think they did a good job. I didn't necessarily hate a lot of the calls, but the Draymond ejection is, like, such a massive swing moment. Could have been in the game, and probably, I guess we can start there. But what did you just think of that decision?
Yeah, I think they're doing a thing. What was it we were talking about before, where they're essentially giving you two fouls on one play, right? They're like essentially flagrant one
for hitting him in the
face, and then flagrant two for what they thought was pulling him down. That's the part I don't like. It's like all in the same, you know, arena. If you punch a dude twice in the face, is that two flagrant ones, or is that one? Do you get one for every punch? To me, that I just don't like how they do that. I hate playoff games being decided by that type of stuff. I just can't stand it. It's just
it seemed like such an easy flagrant one call. Yes. It was like it was over the
Nobody
top.
Nobody would have been mad if it was flagrant
well,
one.
The crowd would have been mad. The crowd was chanting, throw him out. I think they felt the crowd. I think they saw the video. How many times they played the video of him grabbing the jersey and throwing him down? They played it over and again, and they just kind of was like, okay, flagrant two.
If they had said flagrant one, the crowd would have been, I don't know, I'm not even sure they would have went, oh, they would have been like, all right, yeah, flagrant one, 2 free. So I was like, haha, because it's funny. I'm sitting right there, like basically where you are is where the referees are. Draymond's sitting next to the refs, kind of like over his shoulder, watching a little bit. And they start chanting, throw him out. And he starts to kind of bob his head, do it a little bit. And then Steve Kerr and Steph look at each other, and Kerr goes, like, throw him out. That's funny. Like, throw him out. Like, yeah, right.
It wasn't necessary. No. It didn't benefit the game at all.
What was But the funny thing is, then the refs look at each other, and you could hear them talking, and what you're saying is right. They were kind of talking about, like, the repetitive nature of the foul, and it was, like, almost, well, it's a one here, and it's a one there, and then I saw them go, like, I think we're going to go two. We should go two. Yeah. And then I saw Draymond said it on his podcast, but it was weird. He turned to Draymond and went, we're going to go with the flagrant. And then he kind of looked around, two. And then that's when Draymond popped off.
Yep, danced out, which could have been a technical foul by itself, and he'd already been ejected. I thought it was poor. I just thought they let the crowd affect him and let the crowd affect him a couple other times. This is not a good crew. Again, I am not usually the referee guy. I thought they were bad. Not anti-Warriors, just being total homers. But the Warriors got mad. Like they, I mean, Clay said it. I played angry. They got mad. They summoned this old Warrior thing in them. Jordan Poole joined it for the first time. You know, comparing it to Houston Rockets Game 7 of the 18 Western Conference Finals, Oklahoma City Game 6. I think we all know that one, 2016. There's been others. Game 4 here in 2015. Like these things are talked about in documentaries, and you know, this is what we continuously write about. We just have one right in front of us. This was one of those. Today, and to do it again, you know, this is like when they beat the Portland in the Western Conference Finals in 19 without Durant. This team can summon this. Doesn't mean they're going to championship, but this summoning is special about them. And this that third quarter and then fight their way through the fourth was another prime example. And we didn't know if we'd ever see it again. Like this kind of Warrior summoning, and we just saw it.
Draymond now has two flagrant foul points. Four is a suspension, as I think everybody who's covered the Warriors, including Draymond Green, knows, because that's what happened in 16. That's why he got the final suspension. I assume they're going to try to talk to the league and get it at least down to a one, because that would save him flagrant points. Doesn't get him the second half back. That doesn't end up mattering. The Warriors, you know, come back, win this game. Marcus, what from beyond just the ejection standpoint, like what is like storyline number one in your mind?
I love the – to me, it's just I wonder what the Grizzlies are going to do. Like, the three guards were clearly a problem for them. And then you throw in Peyton as the fourth one. And it's like, okay, they need Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bane to play incredibly well. Because that really wasn't even a great Clay performance, right? It wasn't
– I would say it was like a below-average
Clay. Yeah, below-average Clay performance. And Steph wasn't, you know, incredible like we know he can be. But they just have a problem, like, chasing those dudes around it. Like, it is tough. It was a problem for Dylan Brooks. Looks like it might be a problem for Bane. The shot isn't there. So I walked away thinking, like, okay, we've been spending all this time talking about how tough Memphis is for the Warriors. But game one was like, hold on. How are they going to deal with all of this? To me, that was kind of crazy. Then you start thinking about – like, they were in foul trouble. All of them were in foul trouble. All the Warriors guards were in foul trouble, except for Jordan Poole. But, you know, that's the part about the rest I didn't like. There were 40-something fouls in this game. So, it's like a foul every 45 seconds. Like, they were
44
just,
fouls, 25 on the Warriors.
44 fouls, like, yeah. That's a little bit less than a foul a minute. But, yeah, that's just – it was a lot of stoppages, but – you know, you just presume Steph, Clay, Gary Payton won't have three fouls in the first half again, right? Maybe they will, but you just presume they won't. And to me, Gary Payton not being in foul trouble is a huge win for the Warriors. They just approach Ja way differently when Gary Payton's on the court. They're moving him off the ball. They're setting screens to try to get him away. It's forcing other people to try to create. And then he's coming as a helper once – they try to create, he's coming as the helper and being disruptive. So, to me, if he stays out of foul trouble, that's a huge benefit for the Warriors.
Poole is so massive. This Jordan Poole leap is so massive for so many reasons. But, like, you could really see it in this game where Draymond gets ejected at half, and I think Kerr in some way switched up his strategy at halftime. And instead of, you know, starting Looney and starting Peyton, he was saying you can't really defend them to death in this game because there's no Draymond. So it's like it's got to be three guards. It's got to be outscore them. Yeah. They get the 36-point third quarter that changed the game. A lot of that was Poole. He had 9 assists. And then the big one, and it's kind of forgotten, I think, just in this tornado of a game, but they go +5 in the first 4.5 minutes of the fourth without Steph Curry. And not only did they outscore him by 5, stretch the lead to 6, when's the last time you felt like super uneasy about Steph Curry being on the bench? Obviously, you want Steph on the floor, but what Jordan Poole has become, particularly when Steph was out, has made those minutes not feel like they used to.
Call a timeout to get him back in, though. Like, it was a little shaky there, but no question. I mean, Jordan Poole, at his best, is somebody that can carry a unit.
There's also another player who's not out there in the second unit, I must say.
Who's that?
Who's making you feel a lot more comfortable.
You're talking about what, Drake?
Nemanja Bjelica is not out there.
Oh, okay, the negative here. Going on the negative. What is he talking about here? Jordan Poole, incredible game. Yeah, they couldn't guard him, and I thought this team probably could. I'll go the other side, though. I was just looking at the stats for the first time, but I bet you – well, there's two stats, Steve Kerr. We know he loves one. He said so. They out-rebounded the Grizzlies, which had not happened this season, and that was just a hustling. Was that with Draymond, without Draymond in the second half?
How about 16 offensive rebounds for both teams? Yes. That was kind of – there was a lot of offense.
And the second one, John Morant had 34 points, but in 31 shots, I just saw that. That they love that. They want him to
31
be
31
shots? 14 you, 31.
You want to know the bigger they stat on that stat line?
4 for 11.
11 attempted threes for John Morant. He took 20 the whole Minnesota series, never more than 5 in a game. 11 is one off a career high.
I love that.
They are begging him to shoot threes, and he made them early, and they didn't back off the strategy. Because he made two, remember, I think the first two shots of the game were John Morant made threes.
He made threes in the play-in game last year, right?
Yeah, he did. He had like 5.
And I just think it was kind of mature of them. It was kind of mature of them to just go, okay, you know. Cool. You hit the threes. You might.
I don't think he didn't. Like, Wiggins played him, and he didn't really do much against Wiggins. Like, it almost seemed like, okay, they want me to take the three. He just kind of seemed bought. I mean, he was putting up tons of shots, but he didn't seem in the jaw flow. It just didn't seem like it.
Wiggins is not that great getting into the ball, but when Wiggins is able to back off, and that's the strategy, he's better because he's long, and, you know, he's still kind of quick lateral, and he doesn't have to, like, be the bulldog, which he isn't.
That's why I would, especially with Draymond there, I wouldn't start GP. If I'm them, I'd want GP to make sure he's closing the game on Ja in the fourth quarter and not in foul trouble.
Well, I mean, he didn't start him in the second half.
He didn't,
you know.
Yeah.
But he was there when it mattered.
He was there. And remember, he was in before Ja. And I was like, I don't know, he's going to get another foul right here. But then Ja came in. But as long as you got that set up, to me, that's where Ja kills you. He doesn't kill you. Or the way he tends to kill you, you're fine with, right? Like, he's going to drive. He's going to get a lot of layups. He might get a couple and-ones. But, you know, if the Warriors are shooting threes, they'll be fine with that. Where he gets you is in a close ball game, half court to half court. You just can't guard that dude. He's just tough to guard. So I would want GP on the court aggressive, too. Do you see when they did the when they were doing an inbounds for the last play, he just goes up to Ja. He just puts two hands on his hip, and Ja's knocking his head off. He's just getting under his skin. And he's not trying to attack GP either. He did one time. He caught him down low, but.
Well, they're trying to get him off. They got him off. Typical GP, I got beat on the lane. He got screened. That's not getting beat. They screened him off, so Clay's guarding Brandon Clark. And Clay said, I knew Brandon Clark wasn't going to shoot that. So Clay moves over, and Clay stood in front of him. I mean, that the two gigantic plays on John Morant were Clay doing that and with GP2's help. And then another screen, and Curry's got him, like, what, a minute before that or a minute and a half?
That was like 30 seconds left.
Yeah, okay.
That was after Clay's three.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then Curry stays in front of him, bumps him. Morant kind of like does a little like.
No, he stripped.
He kind of took the chest bump, and then I just wrote about the play. GP2 he was bringing it up.
He stripped down.
No. He pokes it with his left hand up, and it kind of poked it out.
You missed the strip.
Well, the it eventually gets poked out regardless.
He stripped down, and then he had the Iguodala strip down and then knocked it out. It was like
GP2 knocked the ball in there, too. It just was a really good defensive play, and I'm sure John Morant did not. He thought he was going to go right past him, did not go past him, got stopped, and, you know, those two were huge stops. It was Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and we know this hasn't been Klay's greatest defensive moments coming back, and we know Steph has not been known for defense, and those two guys in that moment where the Memphis wanted them on John Morant, and they stopped them. Huge moments.
I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast of, you know, it was late in the first half right after Draymond gets ejected, and Ja has the floater over Kuminga, who has to be in the game at that point because of foul trouble and no Draymond. And then he does the, you know, he can't guard me, pretty kind of theatrically. Steph saw that. Steph was right there. And then the second time he looks at Steph and is pointing at Kuminga and says, he can't guard me. And Steph did one of those as he's walking in the locker room, kind of nod his head like, okay, like I'll remember that. And then when Steph gets the strip late, he yells down at the Warriors bench, I locked that shit up. And it was like, John Morant was very nearby. I could hear it. And I just, this series is interesting for a lot of reasons, but you could tell neither of these teams are going to back down from a brash standpoint. And I like game two, especially with the desperation back in the building, Draymond Green being back in the mix. There's a lot going on already in this series.
We haven't even talked about my guy, Jaren Jackson Jr., by the way.
We can get to him in a little bit.
Goes off. Like, if not for him, Warriors might have won. This one by 15-20. It was incredible and was not in foul trouble. So I just wanted to make that point early on. We might get back to it, but he was fantastic.
Season high, maybe a career high. What do you have, 33 at six threes? What do you generally think about just the vibe of this series is already taking on?
Oh, yeah, I think that's huge. I don't know if Memphis can play too much better than that. It could probably be more spread out. They got 116 points.
The big thing is, Ja hitting four threes and Jaren Jackson hitting six. That's tough to do. Now, what I would say, Desmond Bane is very capable of going off and did not.
Yeah, but even when Bane is going off, they're still hitting 15, 16 threes on their best day. That's what they got tonight. They just came from a different place. But they're not making 20 threes, right? If they do, they're winning. That's the game, right? But typically, they don't make 16 threes. So even if it's Bane, if it's Brooks, and less Jaren Jackson, the Warriors have shown, y'all was hot from three. You got a lot of the calls, right? And Ja goes off. You pound it inside, and somehow you still lost. To me, that's a very crippling. I'm not calling it a 2.5 game advantage.
You're not going full Tim Kawakami?
Nah. But I do.
Tim was adding 1.5 of those to the refs. He's all in on the refs.
I'm going to just keep going on this.
I do feel like the Warriors can come in this with house money. But the reason I'm saying it's not 2.5, we've seen Memphis win at Chase, right? They can win at Chase. So I do feel like the Warriors have a know how they can beat Memphis, and I'm looking at Memphis and I'm like thinking, yo, how are they gonna do this? It's not gonna be with defense. It's gonna have to be, they gotta score 116 again. They're gonna have to do that. They're gonna have to make 16 threes. They have one of them games 7 for 28. There's just not enough twos. There's not enough twos in there. Even with TK's guy, Jaren Jackson, he could have 20 twos and it still wouldn't be enough.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Jaren Jackson stayed out of foul trouble, and he really did have a good game.
He made Slater's predictions a little shaky, but
I didn't predict anything.
He might get foul trouble again. And they lose. So there's so much going on here. But Like, you know, the guys who've hurt the Warriors in the past, Kyle Anderson, Desmond Bane's hurt them. Dylan Brooks has hurt them. Was my guy was not good. Like, those guys, if they're, like, run off the court a little bit, that Memphis is in real trouble. And they might – I mean, they weren't pounding it in on the Warriors four-guard unit. They were not doing it. They were, like, kind of, like, searching against that. And, they, you know, there was nobody, like, just being physical. I think there will be more physicality. But, like, I saw more physicality from them on the defensive side just because the shot blockers are just flying all over the place. But it wasn't on offense. It wasn't like they're just muscling their way to the basket. They're muscling to rebounds. Warriors played tough there, and if they can match that toughness, they're more skilled. I mean, we know that. And, you know, Steph hasn't gone off, right? I mean, you know, Steph's going to have one of those games. It's just it doesn't feel like there's a big pathway. There is a path, but not a immense one for Memphis to get back in this, because you lose game one at home. I don't know what the numbers are, but, man, you lose game one at home. Although, as Kerr mentioned, they did lose game one at home to Minneapolis and won the series. But, man, you lose game one at home to a good team. Very, very hard. Very, very hard to come back from that.
It is, and there's crazy pressure on them in game two. Now, they can win in Chase Center. They have won big games in Chase Center. They're the type of just – they have the mentality to go in there and believe they can steal one. So, I mean, while this is crushing for Memphis, considering, you know, they were kind of hand-delivered a non-Draymond Green second half, I mean, they come out game two with more urgency, win that game. Like, it shifts – the pressure shifts right back to the Warriors going to Chase. So, I'm not ready to declare anything in this series, but what I thought was curious late, so they wanted Peyton, as you said, they wanted Peyton on Morant late, and it was with no Draymond, so he's not in the closing lineup, but they had Looney out there, and Looney had played a pretty good second half. I thought they were going to keep Looney out there just to have one big. They ended up not. They put Peyton in for Looney, but there will be points when Draymond is back in the mix. Where is it Peyton or is it Poole late? And this would have been one of those nights where that would have been a difficult decision, because Poole is doing everything he you know, to help you offensively, but Peyton is needed on Morant is when Morant was going off. And they ended up putting Klay back in, and Klay wasn't having a good night. If Draymond was around, you could have argued this might have been a night to have Peyton in instead of Klay. But I just see there's like six should-be closers right now on this team in this matchup, and I'm just curious how Kerr decides that moving forward, because he did pull Peyton off the floor for a little bit, and that was a problem.
I think he might. I mean, I think it's going to be Poole, but he might go offense, defense. It might just be not just have him play all the way out. If he can get a couple possessions where you're going to be on defense, you get Peyton in there just for that. For Poole, maybe. Might be for Wiggins. I don't know. Wiggins playing power forward, though. So, well, yeah, I mean, it's just like
– I want to get to Andrew Wiggins. He was
– he was great
all game. Eight rebounds. Oh, you know right now who leads the – oh, I'm hinting at it.
Is it Andrew Wiggins?
Playoff rebounds, leaders for the Warriors. Andrew Wiggins, 42, number one. Draymond Green is second at 31. Wow. He has 11 more rebounds than anybody else on the team.
And you need him against Memphis. You just need that bounciness. And, you know, I noted it when he and Kuminga played together in the first half. Like, just that bounciness changes things. And
athleticism, baby.
Athleticism, speed. He'll flip, 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 flip. And, you know, Jordan is really athletic offensively, you know, maybe less so defensively. The ball's going voop, 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 voop. You know, and you just kind of see the Grizzlies guys are, like, kind of moving their heads around because the ball's moving so fast. I'm not saying that Kuminga should play a lot more than he did, but, like, when Wiggins is that bouncy, it changes the way the Warriors play. And they don't have a lot of guys like that. Like, you just can be bounce around and just, like, knock the ball around. Like, he was doing that, like, rebounds up, and there's Jaren Jackson here. I got to tip it over there. Like, Draymond does that. You know, Wiggins, I hadn't really seen do that very much.
At some point, Wiggins is going to get a tip dunk. Like, he's trying tough.
If he got, was that the Denver one, which would have
clinched? Tried again tonight, but like, the Denver one was much closer. But at some point, he's going to throw one of these things.
The Denver one was ambitious, but he got two of the biggest offensive rebounds of the night in the last 2 minutes, which you mentioned the one. It goes over Jaren Jackson's head. He's actually falling out of bounds, and he like shovels it over to Curry to get him an extra possession. And then they're down two with about 2 minutes left. And it's a traffic rebound that he's able to, like you said, spring up and tip out to Poole. And that's when Poole catches it and throws a fastball right back to him for a layup. That was huge. I mean, that ties the game. So he is getting, like, hustle, big rebounds.
He and GP2 and Klay are, like, in, like, Klay's a power forward right now. That's who he's guarding. He tried to guard Jaw a couple of times. It wasn't pretty. And, like, he is that big and that strong, and they need him fighting. He's not getting a ton of rebounds, but they just need him fighting. Put a body on somebody, you know. And he had Jokic for a little bit last series, he's going to have some bigger guys because of the way they're downsizing across the board. You know, we say GP2 basically plays like a power forward, but that's on offense. He can't play power forwards on defense. Not Jaren Jackson.
Well, especially because he's guarding Morant.
Yeah, he's guarding Morant. That's right. So you need Clay to be guarding, you know, Jaren Jackson. You know, you need Clay to be guarding. He's guarding Brandon Clark on the last play.
They tried him once on Jaren Jackson, and the Grizzlies went right to a post-up, and it was a foul on Clay, which I think was his second. But Mike Brown immediately like springs off the bench. He was like, Wiggins, switch that, please. It was pretty funny. But anyway, other storylines to you guys?
I wrote about this. I mean, they were really pissed off, and felt like, just, you know, this was like righteousness. Like they were screwed in their minds. And I very rarely go, I mean, I'm always for teams can feel that way. Fans, I don't love when they feel that way. But the team itself, like there was this edge to them about what had happened. And if they had lost, we would have heard some of it publicly. No question in my mind.
Only one of them matters, right? The teams or the fans.
Yeah, the team matters. The teams can always be mad. But like they felt like this was a horrendous officiating all against them, and they got the chip on their shoulder, and maybe that helped, you know, that surely helped their motivation in that second half. They're trying to take it away from us. I did hear a certain player as he was leaving who did not speak to us or before anybody went to the podium screaming, they tried to. It was Draymond, obviously, you know, someone was telling him that they were trying to steal it from them, and he said, yeah, they tried to. I didn't put it in my column, but I will for the exclusive use of the podcast. That's what Draymond was yelling as he was exiting the arena.
Don't he was talking to
one of his security guards.
Who else? Who? A father.
Oh, really? Okay.
Morant?
No, Warrior's father.
Uh-huh. I didn't see that. I just saw him go with the security guy. But
T. Morant was having a good time.
Yeah, he was going to move.
He had like a 5-minute post-game session with Steph. You see that? They were like hugging and talking. And
I saw Ja talking to him like while Ja was like lining up on defense, and he's having a conversation with his dad 20 feet away. It was hilarious. Yeah. He's into it.
Yeah, he was like – he called Steph over. Steph walks over. They hug like 3 times. He like covers his mouth, and he's whispering in his ear, and they're laughing. That was interesting. I'm like, hey, I can see that for – The after the series is over, but yeah, I wonder how.
Yeah, after game one.
Yeah, after game one and
after that game one. Yeah, after that game one. Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be a big game. Good game two. Game two is going to be.
I'm recommending that Dale goes and sits by T now. And
get them on. Yeah, get them. Chris Haynes interview them both.
Yeah. Who's the dad who could ride with? Who could sit with T and who's the Warriors dad who needs to be?
Well, how about
there?
Draymond's mom?
Yeah.
I don't think she's here, is she?
I don't know.
No, I don't. She was tweeting, so I don't think she's here.
Yeah, it would be great. Oh, man, that would be epic, wouldn't it? That would be great.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, I would say from Memphis' side, you got to see more Bane. Although I think the Warriors scouting are clearly is like, do not get detached from Desmond Bane.
He never looked comfortable out there. He didn't. I mean, I don't know what he numbers.
And also, he's trying to guard Jordan Poole. Like,
he's guarding a lot of Clay, too.
10, 1 of 5, made 1 3-pointer. Yeah, not a good game. Plus one, but.
And then, to me, the worst player on Memphis today, Dylan Brooks. Airballed 3 threes, got too aggressive offensively trying to shoot. 5 fouls. Obviously, he needs to be on the floor. He's got to guard either Steph or Poole. But he's got to play. Like, if you're in between games in this series as Memphis, you're, like, looking at the way Brooks played and needing him to play much better.
You know who played better? De'Anthony Melton came off the bench and played really well.
You called that. No Zaire Williams. He was out with a knee. You know, maybe Steven Adams re-enters the series. Tyus Jones wasn't great. Now, that was the other thing about –
I'm surprised he didn't play more, by the way. Like he closed the last series, played great, and then he plays 12 minutes tonight. I was surprised by that. I
Gary Payton was on Tyus Jones, too, which is like –
Gary Payton, when he was in the game, when Ja – that's what I was like. You need to sit him down, save him for Ja, but – they're not going against Gary. They're not doing it. But I do think the difference between last series is Steph, Clay, Jordan Poole, and Gary Payton. And the last series, it was D'Angelo Russell.
Anthony Edwards,
who.
Jordan McLaughlin was balling.
Jordan McLaughlin was the best guard. And Jaden McDaniels, yeah. It's just a different, you know, there's levels.
I don't know. I mean, I just thought he would get some, you know, significant minutes because he's just in the rotations, who they are. He's hit clutch shots, and he plays 12 minutes. That surprised me. But
what'd you guys think of Kuminga?
I just want him seeing more pressure on the rim immediately. I mean, I don't think his lostness is that bad.
It's not that good. There was times where he kept looking over the bench and Steve was trying to direct him. Then there was a point, it was his first possession. He clearly was like, all right, I'm on the floor. I want to make an impact, as you're talking about, right? Go to the rim. But he got the ball. It was like a defensive rebound in the corner, and he's bringing it up, and Draymond's running in the middle of the floor, and Draymond is sitting there like, ball, 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 ball. And Kuminga just the entire time did, and Draymond did one, and was like, oh. Like, yeah, you know, shook his head at the bench.
He back out at the top, though. I mean, he probably saved the turnover. He held it up, yeah. Got into a point.
Draymond's passing was not terrific in the first half. Yeah. He was like throwing like, you know, 40-foot bounce passes. But I just like he does that type of stuff where I think Draymond's like, you know, why are we playing a rookie right now if he's not going to, you know, give the veteran the ball?
Iguodala would give him minutes that, you know, was about the same, you know, so he's going to get in there. And Otto Porter does serve a purpose. He's
8 rebounds for Otto Porter.
Absolutely does serve a purpose. But, like, could Kuminga get some of those minutes and actually give them a little bit more on offense? Because, as we keep saying, he's not making anything. You know, he's not even taking shots anymore. So, you know, I guess he does sort of spread the floor because people sort of think he's going to shoot. But it's not – I don't know. I think Kuminga could get some of those minutes just as a different dynamic to, you know, the minutes Porter was getting, is getting, that Iguodala was getting, Bielitsa's not getting. Like, there's – feels like there's minutes there, and it's still not quite opening up that much for Kuminga.
He has – Kerr has really, you know, tightened the rotation. At one point, it felt like it was an 8-man. It obviously stretches to Kuminga.
What do you mean? We saw Damian Lee. Yeah,
we got three pretty good minutes from Damian Lee to try to bridge it to get Steph back in the game after there was Peyton and Klay Thompson foul trouble. I really did feel like it was an important play. He drives baseline, gets Jordan Poole a wide open three, and Jordan Poole had just entered the game and missed 3 straight threes. He took a step back air ball. He just looked rushed. Damian Lee got him a catch and shoot wide open three. He hits that, boom. It explodes. It's 31.9.
Damian Lee's going to try to shovel shot in traffic, and it was not going to make it. So passing was a good idea from him, I think, there. Because what about Damian Lee? What facet of his game annoys Warriors fans the most? Missed open shots or when he gets into traffic and it's just pure trouble? I think it's when he gets into traffic and it's just pure trouble. But that's just me.
That's why you need Nemanja Bjelica out there going into traffic. All right. Well, game two, like we've been saying, it should be an environment in here, and it should be a lot. There's just a lot on the line for a Grizzlies team that I feel like they're just going to play frantically with a lot on the line.
Yeah, I wonder about their fatigue level, right? It's a day off, but coming off that series, a really short turnaround. 12:30 game helps them a little bit, but, you know, I just want to see how they respond. How they respond. They're a really good team. You know, they're obviously on their way up. Like, these are the moments where you become a champion, right? Like, if they're going to do that, they just got a team in front of them that ain't going anywhere. They're going to have to beat the Warriors.
So you're saying it's like the Warriors game 4 and 15. This is game 2 for the Grizzlies.
They just pushed it that fast. Yeah. Like,
Is it right here? Who are you? Who are you?
The Warriors lost at home in game 2.
And then lost game 3 here. Yeah.
Kind of put them in a hole. So it's like
This is similar to being down 2-1 at home in a game 4, being down 1-0 when you are the home team.
Yes, and it's the Warriors again. You know, we cover them, so whatever. But like the world's okay. This is the Warriors. They're through here. You know, like you just kind of feel that. Again, it's not real. It's just basketball. But they just won a game without Draymond Green in the second half in Memphis. There's a lot of weight with that.
Clay going crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of weight on that, and. We'll see with Minnesota. Who are they playing? Memphis. See if Memphis is
still that wishful thinking from a game.
Yeah, we should even be here today. We should still be flying tomorrow. Oh well, that's over. Let's go get some barbecue.
All right, cool. We will talk to you Tuesday night.